From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beter.
Who are you?
Hey, what, you know? Well,
Andrew's out.
He's out doing a little kernel debugging training out in Beantown, out in Boston.
Nice.
So I'm in here covering the home base for him.
And what people may not know is that you're one of the people behind Defrag Tools who helps us put together stuff and what we're going to talk about and research and it's just all over the place.
Yeah. So Andrew and I work on the same team, and so I've been kind of in the behind the scenes kind of thing on the last few episodes. And,
well, you're in front of the scenes today.
In front of the scenes today.
So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I'm going to cover a couple of different tools. I'm going to start with an inbox tool, actually, called msconfig. And then I'm going to go to the more power user version of that from SysInternals called AutoRun.
Cool.
But before I kind of start talking about msconfig, I want to kind of give a little bit of a backstory, a little history of a little Microsoft history from back at the dawn of the internet age. When dial-up modems were all
sounds
the rage.
Like Windows 95 days.
Windows 95 computers were big and beige.
Yeah,
and the hallowed halls of Microsoft echoed with the sounds of let's say Weezer.
Okay.
Yeah. So back in those days, Microsoft product support would get a lot of support calls from people who'd installed various software on their pretty swanky Windows 95 machine. It wasn't running so hot, and what do I do? I'll call Microsoft, and so I've actually got a little Windows 95. This is actually Microsoft Bob. Not sure if you remember this.
Wow, that is rolling it back. Old
rolling it
school.
Back. Yeah, going. So let's say you got your Windows 95 machine. I'm going to go ahead and get out of Bob
here. That fire must be, what, 2-3 frames per second?
It's been running for a long time there, and it's just still burning.
It's keeping me warm.
And this dog here is kind of the ancestor of Clippy, if you
nice,
remember Clippy.
Yeah.
Let's exit out of Bob here.
I don't think anyone will let us forget Clippy.
Clippy is infamous. That's right.
So this is a very familiar look for old people like me.
That's right. Yeah, you and me both, back in the day. So we'd get customers calling up all the time in Windows 95, and it was pretty terrible because, they'd install stuff, it would start up, it'd load drivers, all this kind of stuff, and it was about the only tools we had back then.
We all
then.
Had our RAM doublers running.
RAM doubler, and you'd install RAM doubler, and next thing you know, your machine runs like half as fast.
Yeah.
You're like,
I doubled my RAM, what happened?
I better call Microsoft. I installed AOL, I don't know what's going on. And so people would call up, and about the best thing that the support people at Microsoft could do, whoops, if I type it right here, is run this program called SysEdit, which is kind of like a glorified notepad.
Yeah.
And you'd have your autoexec.bat, your config sys, and you can imagine if you're a support professional at Microsoft trying to walk someone
through
this.
I was a support professional at this point.
There you
and
go.
I remember trying to walk some noob through this.
That's exactly it.
Great times, because now that you've hidden the one that you need them to go to.
Now you can't find it. And now it's like, okay, I need you to scroll down to the line that says load equals or run, and let's look at your drivers here. What do you have? It's pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
So right around this time, Windows 95 was all the rage. They were starting to work on Windows 98. And some of the folks in product support were actually over in the Redmond campus kind of working on the Windows 98 project with the product team. And they were like, I think we can do better. This is, glorified notepad. And, wouldn't it be nice if we had an easier way to sort of clean boot somebody's system if they got into trouble. And I heard this story actually firsthand from one of the people who was on that team named Janet Harris. And what she was telling me is they actually group of them were kind of hanging out at a pub after work talking about how bad this was and can't we do better. And they started brainstorming, and started with a bar napkin here, as all great things are.
Every good idea started on a bar napkin.
Every good idea started on a bar napkin, and this is that napkin.
A photograph, and this is why I keep a stack of bar napkins in my office in case I can come up with a good idea.
Exactly. You know, it's better than anything else. You know, the low tech is the best sometimes, and probably beer was involved too.
Yeah.
So as you can see, they kind of sketched out, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we had some check boxes here, your auto exec bat, config sys, you could turn off all the third party stuff, go back to sort of a clean setup here. They kind of sketched out these other tabs. And this
should be in the Microsoft archive.
I know. I think it should be. And you could see that Janet actually had it framed there.
And has not dusted
has
since.
Apparently not dusted it since. But it is kind of a little piece of Microsoft history.
Nice.
And it's a pretty cool story. So this became MSConfig. They sold this to the Windows development team, and they got a developer assigned who a lot of people have actually heard of. His name's Raymond Chen.
I have heard of him.
Believe you've heard of him. He writes a blog called The Old New Thing up on Microsoft.com. And he was the original developer for Windows 98 MSConfig.
Nice.
And it just so happens I also have a Windows 98 VM here. Let's go ahead and bring that up. I better wake it up. And so this was what they actually came up with. MSConfig.
Oh, I missed that bar on the right.
Yeah, the channel bar. Old school. And as you can see, looks very much like the bar napkin.
It does, yeah.
So they had your diagnostic startup, your selective startup, and we'll go into this a little bit more because this is essentially still in Windows 7 and even in Windows 8.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot in here. One of the interesting things here was they had this advanced thing, and you had some really crazy options here you could select to help troubleshoot your system. So Windows 7...
It's still, you know, kind of the same thing.
Still kind of the
it's
same
thing.
It's
still a window. Now it's tabs instead of the floating windows, but...
Yeah, it essentially... Let's go ahead and pull up in my Windows 7 here. We've still got MSConfig. And hasn't changed a whole lot.
Yeah.
So this is actually... still a really good tool to use if you get into trouble. Your machine's booting up slow, you're not sure what's going on, you can come in here.
I just want to know what's firing up when I turn on my computer.
Yeah, why do all these things come up? You know, why do I get this thing asking me to update some software? Where's that coming from? And so you can come on in here to MSConfig. You've got your normal startup. You can choose diagnostic startup, which is sort of like a pseudo-safe mode. Where basically we turn off pretty much everything that you can in here. So that's a good way if you're just really machines just dragging, not booting, come in here, you can start with that. The real power is in selective startup, and what that will actually allow you to do is come in here and be a little more granular. You can choose services, and I believe they're all unchecked here because I chose diagnostic, but you can come in here and turn things on individually, turn things off individually, and kind of narrow down through sort of trial and error if something's running slow. So, and you can see here various services, startup items I've got. I've got a few Intel things for my, you know, video driver. It's, you know, loads things down into the system tray here.
Mm-hmm.
Adobe Reader, Acrobat Manager. You know, you'd be amazed how many apps you install that throw things in the startup.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people say, hey, I've had my machine a couple of years now. It kind of boots up slow. How come? Well,
it's good first place to start.
Good place to start. In the tools section here, there's also some quick links to sort of some other tools that you can get to other places as well. But these are kind of a handy way to get to. If you wanted to pull up Task Manager, you can do so. Now, look at that. I loaded up Task Manager, and what came up instead? Process Explorer. And that is actually because earlier in one of the previous episodes, Andrew was showing off Process Explorer, and there was a checkbox where you can replace Task Manager with Process Explorer, and you can see that's checked. So, and we'll actually get into that a little bit later. You can kind of even see how that actually works using some of these tools. So again here, we've got some advanced options over here on the boot tab. One thing I want to point out about msconfig is that this is a good way to start your, to configure your boot menu. A GUI way to do that without having to go in through the command line and learn a lot of bcdedit commands or things like that. So you can see I actually have a dual boot set up here, Windows 7, Windows 8. If you want to force it to go to safe mode, safe mode boot all the time, you can go in there. There's a few other options here for troubleshooting purposes. Base video, if you're having problems with your video driver, that will force it to use the standard VGA driver. This, I believe, will print out all the drivers as they load on the screen. Turn on boot logging. And there's also, again, advanced options, just like in the old Windows 98 days. And this is actually a good way to set this if you want to do some really advanced Jedi stuff and go in and do some kernel debugging. You can configure that through here. Come in here, turn on debug, choose what port I want to use for debugging. Say if I wanted to use 1394, what channel. And I think we may talk about that in a future episode. That's kind of, again, sort of advanced Jedi tricks, but it's we use that a lot of time here at Microsoft for, you know, really getting into the weeds of what's going on the system. So you can also in here choose a number of processors. If you're having a problem and you suspect maybe you have a bad CPU, you can... block that down to one CPU if you have a multi-core system.
Yeah.
Things like that. You can limit your amount of memory that Windows will use if you maybe think you have some bad RAM. Occasionally, we will use those for troubleshooting if we suspect hardware problems on the system. So this is msconfig. You know, not a whole lot different than what we had back in the Windows 98 days, but it's still pretty useful for doing sort of those startup things. Now, the other tool I want to talk about is AutoRuns, which is kind of the power user version of this that really gets in. msconfig won't necessarily show you everything. There's some things that it doesn't quite know about, sometimes a lot of spyware, things like that, will get into sort of sneaky places in your system. And AutoRuns will show you a lot of those that msconfig won't even show you.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and fire up AutoRuns here. And this is, again, you can get this from SysInternals. SysInternals.com, which is hosted on Microsoft.com. And as you can see here, when I boot this up, I get a much larger view of everything that's starting up. And a lot of these you see are kind of the same things I saw in msconfig. I see some of these Intel things. It'll tell you where they're coming from in the registry. For example, these are located in the current version run key. You know, it's pretty comprehensive, all kinds of drivers. You'll see some of these will show up in highlighted in red, and the ones that highlight in red, what that means is that there's not a description or a publisher name that it can determine. So, for example, this one here, it's just a VBS script. A Visual Basic script file. There's not really a way to specify those things. So not really a problem. I think you'll see this on just about every system. This gather network info is a standard Windows 7 thing, but that's why it shows up in red.
So I think the first thing people would notice is there's a lot of tabs in here.
There are a lot of tabs.
Where do you focus the bulk of your time when you're in here?
The tabs are a way to filter this view down. So what you're actually seeing here is you know, it defaults to this everything tab. Mm-hmm. And I would start with logon. These are the things that are going to kind of start up at the time of logon.
Yeah.
And these are a lot of the same kind of things that you'll see in msconfig as well. You'll also see Explorer here. These are things that have plugged in, hooked into Explorer. So for example here, I've got an Adobe Reader shell extension for which sort of helps launching PDF files. I've also got some Intel things here, for example, under context menu handlers. And what that is for example, I right-click on the desktop, and in addition to the normal stuff, I have some graphics properties here, which fires up an Intel control panel.
Yeah.
This is where that comes from. So if I want to disable that, I can do that here. I can uncheck that box. And that's a good point here. In order to make changes here, I actually have to run as administrator.
Yeah.
And helpfully, Auto Runs will prompt me to do that. So I'll go ahead and click that, and what'll happen is it'll actually close and reload. Now I'm running with admin privileges, and I can go in and uncheck that box.
So what's a method that the typical person would use to know whether or not they can shut something off in here? I know back in the day, back at, must have been Windows 95, 98 days, there was a site, Black Viper, that a lot of people would use to see, you know, if I want to set my machine up for gaming,
right,
turn these things off, leave these things on.
Right.
How do you know whether you can turn something off and it's not going to hurt your system or at least degrade things that you want to work?
So there's a couple ways you can do that. And the first way is under the options view here. There are filter options. And the default here is to hide Windows entries. So by default, Auto Runs is not showing us things that belong to Windows itself necessarily.
Yeah.
You can also come in here and hide Microsoft entries altogether. And this is potentially a good way to go because, let's be honest, you know, there are some Microsoft things that can occasionally cause you problems, but a large percentage of the time when you're running into trouble, it's some third-party thing, maybe isn't encoded very well, that sort of thing. So that's a good way to kind of filter things down.
And a long time ago, there used to be a lot more things running that you probably might not have needed on your gaming machine. Whereas now, Windows 7, Windows 8, very minimalistic. They're not going to be running a bunch of things that you don't need.
Yeah, in fact, even one of the things between Windows Vista and Windows 7, one of the big pushes in Windows 7 was to cut down the footprint of Windows and kind of shut down a lot of those background services, or at least, you know, not having them running all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll fire up once in a while, once a week to do something, and then they'll shut back down, that kind of thing, where maybe in Windows Vista they were just running all the time.
Yeah, and with Windows 8, they've taken that concept and turned it into an art.
Even further.
Yeah.
Yeah, and especially Windows 8, because as people are more and more interested in, you know, mobile computing, using new form factors like tablets and ultrabooks, and battery life becomes more and more of a factor. So the push these days, you know, in contrast to, say, the Vista era, or even back further, is to really kind of cut down CPU cycles, keep things from running that you don't need to. And so a lot of the Microsoft stuff, especially now, is pretty good about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't guarantee that third-party apps aren't going to go load something up there that's just going to burn up your battery, or, you know, do things you don't want to do, slow things down. So that's where Auto Runs and MSConfig, and especially Auto Runs, are really good tools to kind of see what those things are. So just kind of quickly going through, and one other thing, actually. So another thing you mentioned, how can I know what these things are and whether I can safely turn them off? As in some of the other sysinternals tools, if you right-click here, there's a search online thing here. So, for example, this syntpenh, which is running on my machine every time I boot up. I don't know what that is. Maybe I can search online here, and I get a Bing hit for it. You know, I can find out what these things are. And it turns out, for example here, SysTP is a process installed alongside the Synaptix touchpad for laptop touchpads. So I can turn that off, but I'm probably not going to get a full functionality out of my touchpad. I'm not going to get all the gestures and the two-finger things. Yeah. It might just be sort of a basic functionality if you disable that. What actually happens when you disable these it actually moves them into a special disabled folder. So, for example, this IGFX tray, which is another piece of the Intel software for the video driver. Let's go ahead here. One other thing you can do is jump to entry. And what this actually does is it fires up RegEdit, takes me right to the place on my system, in this case, in the run key of the registry, where that thing's located. And you can see it's even highlighted for me. And now if I go back, and let's say I uncheck that, I want to disable that. Come back here and refresh that, and you'll see it's gone. Well, where'd it go? The way this is actually implemented is under the run key here, you'll see a new key called auto runs disabled. So essentially just got moved into there.
Yeah.
So if I want to go re-enable it, I recheck it, it goes back. You can do that. So there are a few other tabs here I can kind of quickly cover a little bit about what they are. There's also pretty good help here to kind of describe these. Explorer is things that kind of hook into Explorer, like I mentioned, and you can see now I'm really only seeing a couple there because I've turned off I've hidden all Microsoft ones. So these are third-party things. I've got Adobe here and an Intel thing. Internet Explorer, this is actually a browser plugin.
Yeah, so when you click on a PDF, it knows to open it up,
hopefully
in the browser.
Right in the browser instead of having to open a separate app. You know, there again, if you get some of those sometimes, maybe they're slowing down your browsing, you can go in Internet Explorer itself and disable those, but you can also do it here.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice having it all in one place. Scheduled tasks, you can see I've got a Flash Player updater that's scheduled to run periodically. There's that gather network info. That's actually a Microsoft thing. It's still showing up because, as I mentioned, it doesn't actually know that it's a Microsoft thing. Services, here again, because I've turned off, I've filtered out all Microsoft ones, I'm only seeing third-party ones here. So you can see I've got a few drivers and things loaded that have installed services like my ThinkPad power management service. Drivers, here I would probably not recommend just randomly disabling these unless you know what you're doing. You could run into problems. If you do run into
problems. That RAID driver can't be important.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of these probably aren't really running. And some of them are actually highlighted in yellow here. And the reason for that is the file isn't found. So I've got a little bit of cruft on my system here from, you know, who knows how that happened, but it's kind of, you know, I think actually what happened here is I did something I would not recommend. I actually copied this disk image right over from Andrew's machine, which was a different hardware. So we have some extra drivers maybe sitting around here for his machine that my machine doesn't even
need.
That
explains the HP one that was in there.
That's why I had an HP and I've got Lenovo drivers. So here again, this is kind of a good example of where you can come in here, see that stuff, and you know, and those probably aren't causing me too much trouble, but they might be loading some stuff that isn't really relevant to my machine. You know, this is a good way to kind of clean that stuff out and check those boxes. Codecs, this is for, you know, multimedia playback. You'll see if you've installed third-party codecs. Maybe you went and installed, you know, DivX or some of these things. They'll show up in here. Boot execute. This you probably won't see too much of. Some of the things in sysinternals auto runs, you probably shouldn't see too many things here unless you've got something kind of sketchy on your system, like malware.
Yeah.
Not too many things are going to be in boot execute. This is actually for software that runs before launch. I don't know if you've ever run like a check disk and it says, oh, you have to reboot your system. And then on the next boot, like before you can get into Windows, you'll see this auto check running to check your file system. that is actually one of these sort of boot execute things. You shouldn't really see too many third-party apps in here. Occasionally, I think about the only thing I can think of legitimately that would ever be in there is like certain defrag apps.
Yeah.
To disk defrag, I should say, not defrag the show, but image hijacks here again. Okay, so you remember earlier I fired up Task Manager and Process Explorer came up because we'd set that earlier in an earlier show. This is actually how that's implemented. So when you check that box, what Process Explorer does is it goes and installs itself as an image hijack. And by image in this case, we don't mean like an image file like a JPEG. We mean image like
a disk image.
And a program image, an executable.
Yeah.
So what's actually happened is for the Task Manager, whenever Windows goes to launch Task Manager, it goes and looks in this registry key and it gets redirected over here to Process Explorer. Now, this is legitimate. We chose to do that. Sometimes you'll have third-party, you'll have malware sometimes that'll inject itself in this kind of way. And you'll see that here. And if you see something like that, you should be kind of suspicious.
So if you go to start one application and something else starts, that might be a good place to go look.
This could be a good place to look. And sometimes the app you want will actually start, but maybe something else also started and then ran the app that you wanted.
Yeah.
We actually use this legitimately for attaching debuggers to certain apps. If you always want an app to run under a debugger, you can implement that through this kind of mechanism. So you'll see those in here if you've done that. But again, that's kind of more advanced Jedi stuff. You're probably not going to see that on a typical machine. Sidebar gadgets. I'm actually not seeing anything here, even though I do have a sidebar gadget because it is a Microsoft one. And there it is, CPU meter.
Deprecated.
Yes, I believe they have deprecated those now.
Sidebar gadgets are gone.
Yes. And I still have one running on here, but network providers, I believe this is, you know, certain ways for network protocols and things to kind of hook in. LSA providers, you're probably not going to see too many of those, although you may occasionally see something like, say, if you've got a fingerprint reader or some other way of logging onto your machine other than the standard password, that'll be... that'll show up in here. Print monitors, you can see I have some sort of a third-party Epson print monitor installed here. These are used for printing. And this is actually another thing that we have seen malware use. So if you see something suspicious in there, you may want to try disabling that. WinSock providers, again, another way to kind of hook into the networking stack. Not too commonly used. These WinLogon, these are applications that have subscribed to notifications about logon events. In this case, I've got some, it looks like that Intel graphics driver wants to know when somebody logs on. Known DLLs, you're probably not going to see too much of this. This is sort of an optimization when we launch an app. We look at a list of known DLLs so that we know where they are. We don't have to go look for them. Probably not going to see too much of that that's not Microsoft. There again, if you do, you know, look at it and see. Whoops, what's happening there? Ah, I need to unhide Windows entries. Normally all you'll see are actually parts of Windows. This is something we use internally in Windows. You probably shouldn't see too many things here that are not part of Windows. And AppInit, honestly, I've forgotten what that one is. I don't think it's very... that actually is when... it's another way when you launch an app that particular third-party code could get launched into that process's space. So, again, not commonly used. In fact, I believe this was disabled starting with Vista. So you probably won't see too many things in there. One other thing I did want to point out here in terms of knowing what should be there, is you can actually compare against another system. So if I were to come in here and save this, I can save this list of everything starting up on my system. And what I did earlier is I took a totally clean Windows 7 SP1, nothing else installed on it, bare bones, and I saved that. And I can now use that, it's the compare function here. I can come in here, so here's my file I saved earlier from a clean system using auto runs. And I can come in here and everything in green that's highlighted is not part of the clean Windows 7 install.
Yeah.
So quite a bit. In fact, in this case, I'm seeing a lot because I'm only showing sort of, I am seeing these. If I scroll down here, you'll see other things that are, it's interesting. Everything's green. Not sure what's going on there. So compare. Well, what's supposed to happen is just the things that are different are in green. One other thing, and I'm going to actually close this and relaunch it. Here we are. And I'm going to go run as administrator here again. Because when I run as administrator, I also have the option of selecting different users. Certain things will start up only for certain users.
Yeah.
And if I want to see other users of this machine and what's starting up in their environment, I can select those, but only when I've chosen to run as administrator. You can change the font. Yeah, not very exciting. And the other thing that I wanted to show in the filter options here is this one here, verify code signatures. And what this will do is it'll go look at the code signing for every piece of software that it can. And you'll see most of them will say verified. These are either things that are signed by Microsoft or they're signed by another software company using a certificate saying, hey, this is legitimately us.
Yeah.
And we did release this, we promise. And what I can show here is, let's hide Microsoft. When you've chosen to do that signing verification, what shows up in this sort of red pink highlight is anything unsigned. So you can see I have one here, not verified, and it's that Epson driver, and for whatever reason they didn't sign that file.
Yeah.
So there again, things that are not signed have a higher probability of being maybe something you don't want.
Doesn't mean it's necessarily
trust.
Bad.
Not necessarily bad. You know, I know that's a legitimate printer driver. I've used
but
it.
But it's red for a reason.
But it's red because they didn't go through the driver signing process with it. If you have malware on your system, very likely maybe it didn't go through some kind of driver signing process too.
Yeah.
So it'll show up highlighted there as well. So that is kind of, I guess, about it for auto runs. It's a good tool to kind of get a handle on what's starting up on your system and kind of keep things running clean, running
get rid
fast,
of the cruft, get it
get
going.
Get rid of the cruft. I should probably right now go and uncheck some of this cruft. Turn that off.
Nice.
And the next time I boot up, that those services won't even try to run.
And so most of the things that you change in here, though, you would have to reboot for it to take effect.
Yes, exactly, because this is a startup environment. So essentially what you're seeing here are things that are launching during startup. So obviously certain things, maybe if you just logged off and logged back on, that would be enough. But a lot of the things like drivers, you're not going to see a change until you actually reboot your machine.
Awesome.
So
thanks for showing us this today. That's the show for this week. If you have questions about this, leave us comments in the show notes, or you can send us an email at defragtools@microsoft.com. See you next week. All right.